الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه بارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين علماء اكرام وسيستر elders and brothers young ones in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Dhamat Barakatuhu He says For orators like myself People who give talks and bayans like myself He says Kyo aah mein kuch taaseer nahi Kya ishq ka dil mein teer nahi جب نور نہیں خود ہی دل میں ممبر پہ وہ کیا برسائیں گے It is why is there no effect in the words that we say Why are people's lives not changing Perhaps the arrow of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the heart جب نور نہیں خود ہی دل میں ممبر پہ وہ کیا برسائیں گے So when I myself have not got noor and light in my heart, then what light can I blow into the hearts of the people who listen to the bayan? So that is the reality when I look into my own heart. Then there is no amal, there is no noor. We are lacking. When it comes to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to practicing upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ourselves are lacking. So what sort of reminder, what sort of advice can we give to other people? You people are used to listening to the words of those luminaries and scholars and your ulama who are here, who have got great amount of noor in their heart, what sort of benefit can you take from an ignorant one like myself? But I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allow me to practice on the words that I'm about to say and make it a means for my hidayah and my guidance and make it a means for your people's elevation and your people's practicing upon deen and iman and Islam so that it will be a means of our sadaqah jariyah until the day of Qiyamah. The purpose of these programs and bayans are to put into our lives and allow the flame of Iman and Islam to burn in our hearts. These programs and bayans that take place time and time again, the purpose and objective of it is to implement, to practice. And if we are not practicing, we are not internalizing, we are not implementing, we are not becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are not fulfilling the objective of listening to these bayans or delivering these bayans. And that is the reality of the matter. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, on many occasions they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, Ya Rasulallah, idni wa awjiz. Awsini wa awjiz. These were the words. The Sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Ya Rasulallah, give me advice, make it concise. They were not interested in listening to lengthy bayans and long bayans. Of course, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were to deliver a lengthy bayan, then they were there, they would not move from there. On one occasion, towards the latter part of the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gathered the people and he spoke to them after Fajr until Zuhr. And then from after Zuhr until Asr. And from after Asr until Maghrib. So they were lengthy bayans as well. One way, imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting there and the Sahaba are sitting there and the bayan is going on. What sort of a majma that was. Every one of them a shining star. Every one of them there to practice upon what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to say. Not just to entertain themselves with some bayan, which seems to have become our condition. That we want to entertain ourselves by listening to some bayan. Nevertheless, as Hazrat Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that true success will come when we practice upon what we hear in those bayans. Getting straight now to the topic. So our purpose and purpose of sitting here is to implement, to practice, for us to become better human beings and better Muslims. And that is what Islam and Iman is all about. If a believer is at the same spot in as far as his spirituality is concerned for 2 days, he hasn't retrogressed, he hasn't gone backwards, but he hasn't progressed either. He hasn't gone forward, he hasn't enhanced his recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hasn't become a better Muslim, then that in itself is a retrogression. That in itself means that he has not progressed. He has gone backwards. That is a failure for such a person. A believer is supposed to all the time be looking at how he can become a better person, a better Muslim, how he can become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the month of Ramadan, what a wonderful opportunity it was for each and every one of us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the month of Ramadan ended, or it came to an ending, the verses of the Quran Sharif speak about the fact that if a person is traveling or is sick, then he need not keep the fast during those days, he could keep them on other times. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it extremely easy for you. He doesn't want difficulty, he doesn't want you to suffer, he wants you to have a wonderful life in this world and the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. He wants you to complete the period of fasting. He wanted us to complete the period of fasting, which was how many days? أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتِ. A few numbered days. And we are only about 8 or 9 days after the month of Ramadan. Yet, when Ramadan came and when it departed, we don't even know. Whether Ramadan actually came this year or it didn't come, it went by in a flash. And that is how our lives are going by. Ho rahi hai umar misle baraf kam, chupke chupke rafta rafta dam badam. that our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a hot summer's day. Our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a hot summer's day. Chupke chupke rasta rasta dam badam. Slowly but surely, every moment of our lives are going closer and closer to the qabr. And that is why one Urdu poet he says, Qadam su e marqad, nazar su e dunya. Qadam su e marqad, nazar su e dunya. Kaha ja raha hai, kidhar dekhta hai. He says, we are walking towards the graveyard, but our sight is focused on the dunya. Where are we going and where is our eyes focused towards? Every step of ours is one step closer to the Qabristan. Maligawata. We are going towards Maligawata cemetery, graveyard. Or we are going towards Deiwala graveyard. Yet all our focus, all our fights, our disputes are about this world. All our attention, all our efforts are nothing but this worldly gain. Worldly pleasures, material pleasures. Nevertheless, it was a few days. And those days went by also. The reality of the matter is we did not value those days and nights of the beautiful month of Ramadan. Many of us may not even have completed the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Whereas that was one of the rites of the Quran Sharif, that we recite at least one complete Quran Sharif during the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi used to mention that the rite of the Quran Sharif, the bare minimum is that we recite one Quran Sharif during the month of Ramadan and at least one Quran Sharif in the balance 11 months of the year. So that was the bare minimum we could have done. Yet we did not do that. One hafiz of the Quran Sharif told me this year that, Maulana, this year I'm trying to complete the recitation of the Quran Sharif. A hafiz of the Quran Sharif. He said, if I finish it after 25 years, I'll be completing the Quran Sharif. In 25 years, I didn't complete the reciting of the Quran Sharif. Taqo mein sajaya jata hu, aankho se lagaya jata hu. ताकों में सजाया जाता हूँ, आंखों से लगाया जाता हूँ, तावीज़ बनाया जाता हूँ, धो धो के पिलाया जाता हूँ. The Urdu poet gives the complaint of the Quran Sharif. He says, they respect me and put me high up in high, high shelves. Taqo mein sajaya jata. And it's very, very beautiful. I went to one bookshop in Pakistan. They say, Maulana, people buy this book here. Why? Because it's got a good finish, design. So it will match in their living rooms. They don't ask what book it is, they just say, give us a green book or a blue book or a golden book with a good design so that it matches. Like that we have made the Quran Sharif. Taqo mein sajaya jata hu, haatho mein uthaya jata hu. They pick me up in their hands. Taweez banaya jata hu, they make amulets out of me. But no one is there to practice upon the guidance of the Quran Sharif. The purpose why the Quran Sharif was sent, no one is doing that. Jab qaulo qasam lene ke liye takrar ki naubat aati hai. Jab qaulo qasam lene ke liye takrar ki naubat aati hai. Meri zarurat parti hai, haathon mein uthaya jata hoon. When people are involved in some dispute and they say, take an oath by the Quran Sharif, then people say, wallahi and qasam and this and that. And at that time they find my need and they hold me in their hands and they make me take a qasam and an oath. But that's about it. No one wants to read the Quran Sharif.
جس طرح سے توتا مینا کو کچھ بول سکھائے جاتے ہیں, جس طرح سے توتا مینا کو کچھ بول سکھائے جاتے ہیں, اس طرح پڑھایا جاتا ہوں, اس طرح سکھایا جاتا ہوں.
Is it just like how you teach a parrot or a budgie how to talk? You tell that parrot hello, the parrot will say hello. You tell the parrot teach him how to read, he will read something or say something. So many parrots know Yasin, so many parrots know La ilaha illallah. But what the meaning of that is, they don't know. So just like how you teach a parrot how to talk, the Quran Sharif is saying, just like that they teach me, and that's thanks I am learned. People don't understand what is the message of the Quran Sharif. Ramadan was for that. Ramadan was for learning the Quran Sharif, teaching the Quran Sharif, understanding the message of the Quran Sharif. Ramadan was all about adopting taqwa. And we would have heard many, many lectures that the purpose of fasting was what? The purpose of fasting was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran Sharif itself, he said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It was to develop Allah consciousness. And many of us and many of the Muslims around the world would have developed a great degree of Allah consciousness during the month of Ramadan. How strong our iman base became during the month of Ramadan. Very, very strong. Don't we see little children who may have been fasting during the month? Little children, 4 years old, 5 years old, their mother will say, darling, have something. You just came back from school, have something. You don't have to keep the whole day fast. So the little child will say, thirsty, hungry. Mommy, no, I want to complete the fast. And that little child who was thirsty and hungry, feeling the pangs of hunger at the time of Asr, just before Maghrib, if that little child had to go into the toilet, that little child won't dare take a sip of water even. Why? Because the iman of that child became so strong. That little child realized, even in seclusion, that if I'm going to have a sip of water, even though mummy and daddy may not know about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. That the things that we do hiding from the people of the world, someone is watching us from the sky. Everything that we do hiding from the people of the world, someone is watching us from the sky. And look at that great lesson that fasting taught us. What a great lesson fasting taught us. Elderly people, people in schools and colleges and universities, outwardly they may not be that pious and righteous. They didn't have that level of Allah consciousness. But when it came to fasting, they realized that no, even in seclusion, I cannot break my fast because my Allah is watching. And that was the lesson that fasting gave us. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great alim of South Africa, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality of the matter is that we hardly find people of that stature. He passed away in the Haram Sharif on the 12th of July, which was around the 14th of Shaaban last year, in the Haram Sharif while making dua in front of the Kaaba, and he just dropped his hand and he passed away. What a death. Hardly a year would go by, Ramadan would not go by, where he would not give this example. He said, let us assume for a moment that before iftar, before the fast breaking time, the tablecloth is laid out. And there's 3 minutes to go. Only 3 minutes to go before the azan could be called out and the people could break their fast. And on one side of the tablecloth, there is the greatest mufti in the land, the greatest authority in Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence sitting on one side. And on the other side, there is a very, very sinful person who happens to be fasting on that day. He's sinful, he is not conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's oblivious, he's negligent, he's heedless, he doesn't care. But on that day something happened, he happened to be fasting. Now there's 3 minutes to go. And if that mufti of the time, the highest authority in Islamic fiqh and jurisprudence, has to tell that brother, go ahead and break your fast. There's 3 minutes to go. You've already felt the pangs of hunger. You know how the poor feel. Go ahead and break your fast. I'm giving you the fatwa. Go ahead. Approval from my side. Go ahead and break your fast. So that person will say what? He said, I cannot break my fast now. Even if he's sinful, he'll say, I cannot break my fast now. And if the mufti insists and he puts pressure on him, he says, brother, what do you know about fasting and jurisprudence? I'm telling you that you can break your fast. What are you asking? He said, sorry, you can put how much pressure you want to put on me, but I am not going to break my fast now. He said, when will you break it then? I'll break it after 3 minutes. He said, why? He said, because it is the command of my Allah that I break it after 3 minutes. It is the command of my Allah that I break it after 3 minutes. Look at how strong his iman became in the month of Ramadan for 3 minutes. It was the command of Allah, so he wouldn't dare take a sip of water. For 3 minutes his iman became so strong. Is it not the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then that we pray 5 times a day in the masjid for the menfolk? Is it not the hukam and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we abstain from illicit love relationships? Is it not the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we obey Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in everything that he told us? When he told us that we must lengthen our beards, cut our moustaches, is that not the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it not the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said we must keep our clothing above our ankles, so we must obey that? Is it not the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we abstain from lies and deceit and slander and gossip and backbiting and casting our lustful glances? Are all these not the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well? That was what fasting was all about. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he wanted us to complete this period. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِجَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهِ. And he wanted you to sing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of the Eid. When you said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. He wanted you to say that. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us? He wanted us to be thankful and grateful. He wanted us to have a day of thanksgiving on the day of Eid. But all of those spiritual exercises during the month of Ramadan were not there so that we can return. Surely we did not fast so that we can go back to drinks and drugs and alcohol after the month of Ramadan. Surely we did not stand up in Taraweeh and Qiyam so that now we can stay up at night and watch the television and allow all of our noor to come out of our hearts. Surely we did not undertake our charities and give our zakat so that we can deceive people after the month of Ramadan, and we can lie and we can deceive and we can somehow usurp the land of others. Surely we did not do all of that for this purpose. We were doing it in the month of Ramadan not as some sort of ritual. Islam is beyond ritual. Islam is not a religion اسلام رسمی کاروائیوں سے بالاتر ہے. ان دا ورڈز آف مائی استاد مفتی محمد تقی عثمانی صاحب دامت برکاتہ, ہی سیز اسلام از بیونڈ دا پریکٹسنگ آف سم ریچول. دے آر گریٹ لیسنز بیہائنڈ واٹ وی ڈو. It's not a religion in just which we just have Eid and we become happy and then we return back to our old way of life. We are supposed to maintain this, that fervor that we had, that zeal that we had during the month of Ramadan, that taqwa that was developing during the month of Ramadan, we are supposed to maintain that throughout the rest of the year. A Muslim is not one, we must remember, who intentionally commits sin. That is never the life of a Muslim. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, it reminds me of another example that he used to give towards the ending of the month of Ramadan. And he used to say, if I met in an accident and my vehicle is all dented and now I gave it to the panel beater to take out the dent from there, and the panel beater was my good friend also, my neighbor, he didn't charge me anything to fix the vehicle. So what is my responsibility now when I drive my vehicle out again? What's the responsibility? I must drive carefully. I must make sure I don't meet in another accident. Or should I drive out with this frame of mind that, you know what, I've got a panel beater with my friend, so he didn't charge me this time, so next time also he won't charge me. And I can go out, I can meet in another accident, and he'll stop my car out again. Is that the frame of mind we must go out with? Or we go out with a frame of mind that now I must be very, very careful. I should not allow myself to hit any other vehicle, neither should I allow any vehicle to hit my vehicle. And we go out with that frame of mind. Many a time we commit sin. And we say that Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorul Raheem. Manana, what can we do? Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorul Raheem, no? So we go against the command of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We don't protect our gaze. We engage in illicit talk in the chat rooms of the internet. We engage in illicit viewing of porn sites on the internet. And we say that Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorul Raheem. When it comes to our worldly things, if we have got burn oil at home, burn oil is an ointment that they use when a person gets burnt. So if we have got burn oil at home, do we take our hand and put it in the fire because we have got burn oil at home? We don't do foolish things like that. But if our hand gets burnt, then that burn oil is there for us to put and get some sort of cure. That is what, we don't go out and intentionally fall into the gutter. But if we fell into the gutter, then we must get up and stand and clean ourselves and move on with life. It reminds me of one incident where one miserly person fell into the gutter. Big manhole, he fell inside. Now he was a miser. So everyone was coming to him and saying, give your hand, we'll pull you out. He was not budging, staying there, in the gutter. Like many of us, we stay in the gutters of sin. And we feel that if we have to come out of those gutters, life is going to become boring. Life will not become boring, my young friend. Life will become far more enjoyable than what it is. Nevertheless, number of hours went by, that person is not coming. So many people came and said, give your hand, we'll pull you out. After a little while, one brother came and he whispered something. That person gave his hand and he pulled him out. So he said, what happened? He said, no, nothing happened. He said, we were all trying for a number of hours. He wasn't giving us his hand. And you just came, you told him something and you pulled him out. So he said, he was a miser. You all were telling him to give his hand. I told him to take my hand. I told him, take my hand, and I pulled him out. So nevertheless, a Muslim is not one who intentionally commits sins. We're making dua, Allah Ta'ala forgive us, and we've got the tickets of the cinema in our pocket. We've got some numbers of illicit beloveds on our cell phone. We've got illicit chats saved on our computers. Dear brothers, I'm not going to gain anything if you have to give up sin. The sole beneficiary is going to be yourself. But we have to give up sin. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he says, is sin going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it a good thing or it's a bad thing? What is it? Committing sins, drinking alcohol, speaking lies, committing zina and adultery, fornication. Are these good things or they are bad things? Every one of them are bad things. Can anyone say today, whoever says it's a good thing, put their hands up. No one will put their hands up. Every one of them are bad things. And these are universal concepts. Everyone from all religions agrees. So when it's a bad thing, are we supposed to leave it out? Are we supposed to continue indulging in them? We're supposed to leave them out. So, are we supposed to leave them out then before death or after death? After death, even a non-Muslim, a Hindu and a Mushrik and a Christian and a Jew, they also leave out sin. So when are we supposed to leave out sin? Before death. And when are we going to die? We don't know. So when is the time to change? When is the time to change? The time to change is now. We have to give up those sins now. There's no waiting until tomorrow. I don't know whether I'll get up from the seat or not. Really, I don't know. I may pass away here and here, and you may take my janaza outside to make ghusl. I don't know. So when is the time to change? The time to change is now. The Urdu poet, he says, Tu jo hila bas, aaj ke naujawan, sun le meri fuga, O youth of today, listen to my cry, listen to my lament, listen to my complaint. Tu jo hila banata hai halat ka, main to qail nahi in khayalat ka, tujhko shahid hai ilm is baat ka, ahle dil khud manate hai apna jahan. He says that this excuse that we make, that Maulana, what can we do? The environment is like that. People are calling us towards evil and bad. There's so much of attractions and distractions. What can we do? Tu jo hila banata hai halat ka, main to qail nahi in khayalat ka. I find it very, very difficult to accept this excuse. It's not acceptable. Tujhko shahid hai ilm is baat ka, you must know this much. Oh my young friend, ahle dil khud banate hai apna jahan. That those who want to change, they make their own environment. They are not pressurized by the environment that is around them. And we must never allow that to happen. We must become the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, the purpose of today's lecture is to keep up the momentum going after the month of Ramadan. With regards to that, one Urdu poet, he mentioned some resolutions that we ought to be taking. He said, Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. The season of taqwa has come. When the month of Ramadan came, it was all about taqwa. And the reality of the matter is, dear friend, that taqwa is such a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we implement it, when we practice upon it, then the in'amat, the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that open up, it's like the floodgates of mercy open on a person when he adopts taqwa. Allah ta'ala, he says himself, that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever adopts taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a means out from any and every difficulty that he has. يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him sustenance from places that he doesn't even know about. Places that he never ever felt he will get sustenance from, he will get sustenance. He won't have to hanker and run after the dunya. The dunya will come to his feet. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Every matter of his will become easy and simple. No more worries, no more problems, no more difficulties. All for taqwa. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever does good, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we'll give him a wonderful life in this world. Beautiful life. It doesn't mean he won't get sick, he won't suffer any type of difficulty, he won't have financial problems. It doesn't mean that. He may have, but his heart will be absolutely at ease and at peace with himself. Don't we see the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes they are sick, they are paralyzed for 10, 15 years, yet there's a smile on their faces. Have you ever heard of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever becoming depressed and having to take antidepressants? Never. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives great amount of solace, comfort within the heart. Outwardly there may be sickness. That is why my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he says, دشمنوں کو عیش آب و گل دیا دشمنوں کو عیش آب و گل دیا دوستوں کو اپنا درد دل دیا ان کو ساحل پر بھی طغیانی ملی ان کو طوفانوں میں بھی ساحل دیا. That to the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gave them the enjoyment of aab. Aab means water, gil means sand. Enjoyment of sand and water. Everything in the world is made out of sand and water. The building, human being. So someone gets a beautiful girlfriend, and someone else gets some prostitute. So they get this sort of enjoyment, temporary enjoyment. Haram. And to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did they get? They got dard-e-dil, pain in the heart. But what was that pain? The pain was that they were all the time concerned and worried about fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the pain that they had. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was coming to their heart. Unko sahil par bhi tughyani nahi. Those people, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outwardly it seemed as though they were enjoying everything. There wasn't a reason why they should become depressed, but still they were in storm. They were depressed. Aur humko tufano mein bhi sahil kiya. And we, although we did not have much, outwardly it seemed we were suffering, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us great amount of solace, comfort, satisfaction within our hearts. And we were far better off than those people. And that is the reality. So he says, Bahar taqwa ke aa gayi hai. The season of taqwa has come. Gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. The time of sinning has gone by. The time of going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is gone. It's no more an option. Zahe muqaddar mahe mubarak mehar musalman sabar chuka hai. Look at it this, in this blessed month of Ramadan, how every Muslim seemed to have meant his ways. Everything was so wonderful, the masajid were full, people were fasting, people were giving charities, there was no lies, there was no deceit, people had cut off extracurricular haram activities, so many of them, even though there was so much of pressure, that now you must watch the Olympics, and find out who won how many medals, yet we were not doing all of that, because we realized that time will pass even if we are not going to watch the Olympics. Many people were saying, well, like we don't watch the sport and we don't watch the full ball-to-ball coverage, then how will time pass? So whether you like it or not, time is going to pass. But if we did not value Ramadan, then we have failed. Time passed, but we failed. بہار زہ مقدر مہ مبارک میں ہر مسلمان سبر چکا ہے. How wonderful it was during the month of Ramadan. It just seemed as though every Muslim has mended his ways. Now what is the purpose and objective? Now what should we be doing? He says some resolutions for us to keep up that momentum. He says, بری مجالس میں اب نہ جائیں گے, نیک صحبت میں ہم رہیں گے, کہ بدگمانی سے, بدنگاہی سے, جھوٹ غیبت سے ہم بچیں گے, اور اب جماعت سے سب نمازوں کو جا کے مسجد میں ہم پڑھیں گے. جو عہد ہم نے کیا ہے اللہ سے اے حضر, اس پہ مر مٹیں گے. اسے ہو کیا اختیار خود پر, فروخت خود کو جو کر چکا ہے. He says that if you want to keep up the momentum after the month of Ramadan, then keep away from bad and evil company, people who are going to say, take us closer to sin, vices, evil. Many of us don't even know what sins and vices are. We think that everything is fine. Many of us don't even know this. The only way you're going to come to know is to spend time in the company of the righteous, pious, the ulama. Then you'll come to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us. Many of us innocently, we do things that are great sins. One person asked me, Mawlana, can I go and play basketball? Give me leave. Here in Sri Lanka. Give me leave so I can go and play basketball. So I said, no problem. You can play basketball. But will you play with shorts or long? Is it long shorts? I play with shorts or long? So is it long shorts? So how long are the shorts? He said, well, just above the knee. So I said, when all the fellows will be jumping on the basketball net or court, will those shorts lift up or they won't lift up? So they will be lifting up. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he told the sahabi, غطي فخذك, cover your thigh. الفخذ عورة, the thigh is something that has to be covered. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam insisted between the navel and the knee has to be covered. Yet we expose it and we think nothing about it. Nothing about it. What is there if we cover? And then if we're not exposing our thighs, then we're looking at the thighs of others on the television screen, on the internet site, just because we're passionate about some game. So we allow all the noor of Ramadan to escape. How can that be? These are important aspects and we need to learn this. Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge. We're not going to spend time in bad company. Nek sohbat mein hum rahenge. And at the same time, we're not going to stay all alone. We're going to stay in good company. Because if you're going to stay alone, then an idol's mind is the devil's workshop. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. Then he starts thinking. Then he starts contemplating. Then he starts making schemes, plans, how I can do this, how I can do that, and how I can get her trapped in my net and in Shaitan's net. So we're going to spend time in good company. کہ بدگمانی سے, بدنگاہی سے, جھوٹ غیبت سے ہم بچیں گے. And we're shunning all sins from our life. That is the only time we're going to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, on one occasion he said, we were in Jeddah. And those who have been, they know that this time of the year how hot it is. 45, 50, 52 degrees. He says, we were in Jeddah and the air conditioner was blowing cool air. But the car was not getting cold. So he says, someone asked in the car, can you just check why the car is not cooling? Maybe someone's window is open. My chef says that I saw my window was open. So I quickly shut the window. Quickly shut the window and the car cooled down. Now for me and you, what's the great thing? It's a normal thing. Absolutely normal. You close the window, everything cools down. But these mashayikh, they take lessons from everything that they see around them. He said, look at this. The air conditioner was doing its work. It was trying to cool the car. But because the window was open, the cool air of the air conditioner was going out. our ibadat, our fasting was trying to give us fullness, satisfaction, bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our taraweeh prayers is trying to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our prayers every day is trying to bring us closeness and cool our hearts. But when the windows of our eyes are open, and we are allowing all that noor and that cool air of our ibadah to go out from our eyes, and we are looking at that beautiful woman, just shaking her hair a little bit, and we are getting dazzled with that. Or we are watching the Head and Shoulder advert on television. I haven't watched it, don't ask me. Some people may think that Maulana is talking about it, so he may have watched it also. So I haven't watched it. Let me clarify that. But people tell us what's happening in the world. So he's watching the Head and Shoulder advert, he's getting dazzled. So all that noor of ibadat is all gone. So we have to look after that noor. We have to keep it within. What would you say about that person who just earned his money for the year or for the month and takes it, and in one dangerous location he just goes about moving with that stack of money in his hands like that? What a foolish person he is. You have to send him to the closest asylum. He's got one or two screws loose. After the month of Ramadan, if we are going to do that, then the very same thing applies to us. We have also got our screws loose there. We have to maintain that noor that we have developed during the month of Ramadan. Keep it within our heart. Ke bad gumani se bad nigahi se jhoot ghibat se hum bache. Aur ab jamaat se sab namazon ko ja ke masjid mein hum padhenge. And now we are going to go and perform all our salah in the masjid with jamaat. What is masjid only built for Jummah? That Fridays will come and occupy the masjid. These are not churches that they only get pulled up on Sunday. Sometimes our office is just across the road from the masjid, so we become lazy, we don't go to the masjid. Go to the masjid and perform your salah. There's so much more reward. So we're making that resolution also. Jo ahd humne kiya hai Allah se, ay asar us pe mar mitenge. The covenant, the pledge, the promise that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan, we're going to sacrifice everything to fulfill that pledge and that covenant. When we cry before Allah, when we said that we're making tawbah, we're not going to return to ourselves, we're going to fulfill every one of those. That's the resolution that we're taking. Usse ho kya ikhtiyar khud par, farokh khud ko jo kar chuka hai. As Muslims, we have got no option over our life, because we have already sold our lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't have any option over our lives. Our lives are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Of course, He gives us the option of whether we want to be those from the people of Jahannam or we want to be those from the people of Jannah. And we have to make that decision. And before I conclude, there's never ever despondency for a Muslim and a believer. Even if we didn't value the month of Ramadan, there is still hope for us. There's no such thing as despondency for a believer. Many people, you do this, you're going to Jahannam, you're doing this, you're going to Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although he said we must warn the people, that's important, but he said we must bring them closer. Bashira wa la tunakhira. Give good tidings, encourage the people to do good, and do not create enmity, do not make them scared too much. We have to be scared. Al iman bayna al khawfi wal raja. Iman is between fear and hope. That is what Iman is all about. You have fear of committing sin and you have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Iman is all about. So there is no such thing as hopelessness, despondency for a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you sin and you sin and you sin, and your sins reach the sky. لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. So many sins you commit, and then you say astaghfirullah one time from the deep recess of your heart. You don't have any intention of going back to the sin. Ghafartu laka wa la ubali. I will forgive all of those sins that have reached the sky, and it will not matter to me. It won't matter to me that I have forgiven you. جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی، بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے، جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی، بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے، یہ رشتہ محبت کا قائم ہی رکھے، جو سو بار ٹوٹے تو سو بار جوڑے. He says that the person who is unsuccessful his whole life, he makes toba, he asks Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, again he falls into sin. He makes toba, again he falls into sin. Again. بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے. The lover, he never gives up. If a person, he's got some illicit beloved, and he brought for her yellow flowers instead of red flowers. She doesn't like yellow flowers, he bought red flowers. So he made a mistake. So does he say now that, you know what, now you must be happy with what I brought. That's one of those things now. You can't expect me to do that. If he's a true lover, will he do that? Or he'll take those flowers back and he'll quickly go and bring good flowers. Why is it when it comes to tawbah and istighfar, then we give up? Remember, shaitan will try and remind us about the past. He'll say that you are, what kind of fellow are you? Look at yourself in the mirror. You can never ever become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Look at your past. Shaitan will remind us of our past. Sometimes he does that. He doesn't let us go forward in life. And sometimes shaitan says, he frightens us with the future. You want to become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. No more TV in your life. Your life is going to become boring and you can't believe what you're going to do in the rest of your life. So he frightens us about the future. So Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib, and I just terminate on that, he used to say that, brothers, remember, past is history. Don't worry about the past. One time istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, past is history. And future, don't allow shaitan to deceive you and make you frightened of the future, because the future is a mystery. Past is history, future is a mystery. And present, that is the present from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we have to value, the present. So that is what we must value and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى معصية وخطيئة. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. For more lectures, visit slhub.com.